They're going to have a revival at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and Gary Wells, the pastor. And I said, well, surely that's just one Gary Wells in Somerville. There's 27 or 28 at one time. Billy Smith's there in DeKalb County. And one of them, Billy Smith, was a friend of mine. Good man, he died. But he said, there's 28 that time Billy Smith's. I get every bit of their bills. Wrong, you know. But there was one Gary Wells over there. He's the pastor. Pastor this church, according to him, 3 months. And that was back in the day. I won't get into all of that. His wife was happy when they left, and my wife would have been happy too. Back, let me tell you what. Peace. Peace with the people of God. It's very, very, very dangerous. You got to be real careful. And you got to guard your hearts. And you got to stay filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe a lot of you are. And that's the result. And I'm not stepping out on a limb. I'm just being very careful to say, guard your hearts. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Pray. Be faithful. And God will bless this place. But there was a time when there was a time. And thank God, he was very interested to know how the church was doing. And hopefully he'll be here in the February meeting. A good man that has pastored for many years. His son was running the revival. His son was named David. He lives in Kentucky, and he run that revival. We heard it 2 nights. And you're talking about not like father, like son. Their presentation is completely opposite, but they both preach the Word of God. And it don't matter to me if they jump the pews or swing from the chandeliers or they stand still and don't make a move. It don't matter if they scream and holler, as long as I can understand the words and that they're preaching the Bible. It don't matter to me. Every man's delivery is different. And if you ever meet them two guys, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I just thought you'd feel you. And by the way, we did go to that breakfast that I told you yesterday. If you're ever up going right out of Lafayette on 27, it's a bypass, dead end, tank of right, and right up there on the right is what's the name of that? Greg's Red. You need to go over there and tell me what time you're going to be there and buy my breakfast for me. Because that was a really, really, and by the way, that was, Kathy, yesterday was our 45th wedding anniversary. We're headed on to 46, and I hope the next 45 has been as good as the first 45's been. Amen. Amen. So y'all encourage Kathy because you know what she's got to live with. Amen. You turned on me, brother. Let's get into the Bible before I get aggravated. I'll quench the spirit here in a minute. All right. If you want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Father, just while you'll come down with your mighty power and bless this place as we open the Word of God. Lord, it's your Word. Lord, it's inspired and perfect. And Lord, it's good for us. It's our bread from heaven. And Lord, it's the warning to the sinner and the salvation of the soul. It's a story about our Savior. And I just pray that you'll bless in every way, wherever the gospel's preached today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we've been talking about the war of the mind. We've been talking about on how to make spiritual decision. And every decision is spiritual. I mean, there's not every decision should be considered spiritual that we make. But sometimes we get clouded mentally. We get clouded and we get misdirected by everything we face in the world from day to day, and everything we face within ourselves, we get clouded sometimes about the will of God and how to make decisions. And this message is for believers, because an unsaved man cannot make a spiritual decision until he gets saved. The Holy Ghost is not there, and he cannot do that. So if you're lost today, wherever you may be, if you want to make eternal decisions, you're going to have to do business with God, and he'll put the Holy Spirit in you, and you can make decisions, and your mind can be right. Your mind is not complete. Your mind is emotional and intellectual, but there's one missing. There's three parts, and that is spiritual. And my friends, the spiritual overrides when you get saved, the intellectual and the emotional. And it has to be, that's the way we're controlled, by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye, that's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And when we are, my friends, we allow the Spirit of God to direct us and help us through our lives. And that does not misevaluate the idea that we're human beings, and the idea that things are physical. But when the Spirit of God is in us and controls us, we let him control us, and it does not diminish the inborn intellectual faculty, but what it does is it enlightens our mind. And in Philippians chapter 2, we read it last week, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So how to have the mind of Christ? You cannot have that without the Holy Ghost of God, because you can't separate the deity, but you can't. And I am not going to try to explain the Trinity, because you cannot explain the Trinity. You have to believe the Trinity. Now, let me get on into this. Okay, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, here's the key, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There is a presentation after you. He's talking to saved people here. He said, and you need to present your body to God. Have you done that? Have you said, look, Father, I don't own myself? And we don't. He owns us. We're bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ, without spot and without blemish. He owns us. And we don't need to buck against that. We don't need to try to think we own ourselves, because we don't. He owns us if we're saved. And we're totally out of line if we think we can live our lives without being under the instruction of God and the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. He was the dying sacrifice. We're the living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed. We're looking at these words carefully. We talked to you about confirmation. And the tendency is to be conformed to the world, to look like the world, to act like the world, to go where the world goes and do the things that the world wants, has for us to do. That's contrary to what he's saying. We're not to be conformed. Why is there so much peer pressure today? You say, listen, you know why? Because the lack of somebody not giving their bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm going to tell you where peer pressure will go if you give your life to Jesus Christ and present your body a living sacrifice, believer, dear child of God, dear beloved. That's what my old preacher friends say now, beloved. So if you, by the way, I'm not mocking them old preachers. You think I would ever do that? Not in a million years. Remember when I said a minute ago that you know, it don't matter if they jump, scream, and holler, just as long as I can understand what they're saying. And it don't matter if they stand monotone and just stand still. It don't matter. It don't matter, as long as they preach the Word of God. There was this boy, young man, and he was raised in church. And he said to the people, and his mama, He said, I think God's called me to preach. So they let him take the stand. And he got up and he said, my dog got away. My dog got in the road. My dog got ran over. My dog died. He sat down. His mama told him later, son, if you're going to be a preacher, you probably need to get some education. So they sent him off to Bible school. He come back and they give him the second opportunity to preach. He said, my dog got away from me. And my dog went out in the road. And my dog got run over. And my dog died. That woman stood up and said, my boy's a preacher. Sorry. So, be not conformed. Preachers have a tendency to want to act like other preachers. I mean, sometimes it's unknown and it's just not, they don't realize it. There was a preacher that had a hand like this that was messed up. You know his name, chick. He's dead and gone. I won't call names. I don't embarrass nobody. Well, the other guy's dead too, so it don't matter. So there's another guy. And so when he'd preach, he'd always hold his hand. That's the only way he could hold his hand. He'd put his Bible right there. So the young preacher, guess how he preached? He did his hand like that and put his Bible right there. That's okay. It don't matter to me. It just matters if a preacher preach and don't be conformed to the world. The tendency not only for believers to be conformed to the world, but the tendency is for a preacher to be conformed to the world. But you know where peer pressure will go? If you give your body a living sacrifice, it'll go out the door. You will not be concerned. You won't have no peer pressure on you. The peer pressure means like to join the crowd, to be popular, to be successful. So anyway, the tendency is to conform. But there's another word right here mentioned, and it's the word transformed. There's a third part of this message later by the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk about a renewal of a mind, if the Lord lets me, hopefully next Sunday. And if not, if I'm not here, Robert's going to preach, and don't preach on this text. I mean, you can if you want to, but I already got my message on this here, on the renewal of the mind. You can preach all you want to on it. But anyway, be you transformed. We're going to talk about transformation. Do you realize now that in parts of the world, I wish I knew where, I believe it's in, and by the way, I forgot that Terry's pastor, as a child, grew up in New Jersey. He died. We need to pray for that family. But I think it's over in Africa, part of Africa. You know what they're eating now? They're eating them little worms that turn into butterflies. They're high in protein. Y'all try. I believe I've become a vegetarian before I'd eat a caterpillar. But there's something about a caterpillar. And the word transformation here is the word, Greek word, for what it's worth, is metamorpho. You know, metamorphosis. I don't know if I said that word right, and I'm not even sure that's the same word, but here's what the word means. Be you transformed. And the word transformed is the word to be transfigured. We have a future transfiguration. We have the promise of a future transfiguration that's from the Lord. A future transformation. And that's in Philippians. You don't have to turn now. Read it. Philippians 3, verse 21. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation. Our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're dual citizens. We're citizens humanly on earth. Spiritually, we're citizens spiritually in heaven. Our conversation. What is your conversation about? We could preach about that. We could preach about that right now. Who do you talk about? What do you talk about? Okay, just think about it. You meet a brother in Christ that loves God, and immediately there's a common spirit there where you can converse about heavenly things. And then there's other people that even call themselves Christians that they're going to talk about something else. They'll change the subject. And I never have understood that. Because the number one thing ought to be on our minds is the things of God. And I know, you know, we have the things of God, and I know sometimes we have a little bit of the world, and there's nothing wrong as long as it's not sin. A dear friend of mine was in seminary at Temple, and I was in the Bible school, and he come walking down the sidewalk. His name was John Killian. If he hears this, he won't care. He's a big old boy, but he's a teddy bear. So he was in seminary, and he had his head down. He's walking down the sidewalk. He met us. He said, "Boys, we got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray." I thought his grandma died or his mama died, or I didn't know what happened. I said, "What's going on, John?" He said, "We got to pray that Alabama will win tomorrow." There ain't nothing wrong with that, but I don't know if I'm going to be praying about Alabama winning tomorrow or whenever. No, I mean, why would you do that? You ain't never asked nobody to pray Alabama win, have you? Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall do what? Who shall change our vile body? That's Philippians 3:21. Vile, that's an empty, worthless body, perishing body. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. It's going to be a great change one of these days. 1 Corinthians 15:52, and all it says, "For in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed." And that's the same word, transformed, metamorphosis. Oh, it's the same word. There's going to be a metamorphosis in our life that's going to change. We shall be changed in a moment between and it says this, it's corruptible from incorruption. That means decaying will put off not decaying. And this mortal will put on immortality, which means this dying will put on living. We change in a moment. What about that? What about that? And if you want to look or listen, in 2 Corinthians, there's another verse here. Second Corinthians 5:17, and you know that verse. And it's a verse that people always use. And here's what they do. One of the great statements that's being made, they say, "You're judging on me. You're judging." I mean, that's just like, you look at them. All you got to do is, you can't really. Well, people don't have to look at each other to talk now. They don't. You know, I'm listening. Go ahead. I just don't talk. I just got problems. Even so. Go ahead, Roger. Kathy, I'm not going to talk to you while you're living through your mom. Hardly ever get to see your sister. But it is a true thing. Hey, I was talking to a young man who's about 40 years old this week. Here's what he said. Talk about, you know, people that took me. He said, "Daddy," this happened to be exactly. I was over in Romania, and I was at a building that was going to make a call home, and there's a building back like this with fines just all the way down the road. We had to wait in line, kids were phone. I learned a few words of Romanian. And I was sort of said a word or two to a fellow that was in line with me. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I just sit on." I said, "No." He said, "Somebody's going to hit you." Now, the idea, Zachary said, "Daddy, it's a different culture name. Not that Zachary's advocating this, but it's a different culture. He said, Daddy, he said, Daddy, if you talk to somebody, I said, what's wrong with saying this? Hello, how you doing today? It's a beautiful day. It's a good day for the Lord to come back. You say that right there, and that's got a witness in for you right there, and you can say it in the Bible. He said, Daddy, if you talk to somebody, it's a beautiful day. Talk to them, they think you're wanting something. It's a sad day. Can't even talk anymore. Say, if they're not serving you, so, if somebody got saved here today, in a lot of the estimation, a lot of independent Baptist teachers' Bibles, if they're not, if they read their Bible through by the end of the week, and they're not sparkling clean, like they're that could be the place that a lot of independent Baptist churches are doing that. I've always had a thought in my mind, it just came to my mind, it may have been said before, I don't know, but it did, it's my, I got to find them where they are, try to lead them. Are you listening to me? We've got to accept it. We've got to accept their conversion experience. It might be not just like yours. No two conversion experiences are the same. None whatsoever. I'm glad that Welcome Baptist Church, since 1971, when I first was saved, I'm glad that they gave me a chance to grow a little bit. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they didn't make me feel uncomfortable in this building. But they accepted me as a 14-year-old boy. They've accepted me and made me feel welcome. God forbid that it should ever be here that somebody should feel uncomfortable in this church house, with the exception of being under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let God make them feel uncomfortable. Not us. Conform. Hey, he said, become. All things are become new. Immediate change. And there is an immediate change. And this word become, friends, listen. You think you know what become means? I think I do. I thought I did. See, with this change when Jesus comes, it's going to be immediate, perfective change. It's never going to change. Yes. Right. But right now, he got some work against us. Not to be. That's the old man. Trying to drag us down. Ruin our lives. Destroy our testimony. So this thing about, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This word, become. I may not have my complete grammar on this, but I've got it pretty close, that this is no doubt a change that is a present, perfect, future tense. Now, what we mean by that in grammar, it presently happened, and it's going to be happening for the rest of our lives, a changing. Did you ever, when you got saved, let's bring it to consider the third part. When you got saved, was there anything that you had to get victory over in your life after you got saved? Did it take you a while? Or was you just, I'm saved, I'm clean, and you are. But there might have been some things that you had to get rid of in your life as time went on. You were going to be a serious Christian. And that's your decision. That's your decision as to whether you're going to present your body a living sacrifice. Talked to a man recently, said, I won't tell you what, but he said, I gave up this. He said, it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but God help me. God help me. What? Yeah, good Christian. One of the finest Christians I've ever known. I knew a preacher, one of my, I don't like to use the word mentor, one of my fathers in the faith. He said he used to say a word. It wasn't a real clean word to say. And he said, for years, I get angry, not saved. You know what he said a few years before he died to me? He said, I don't get angry anymore. He said, I don't remember the last time I got mad about anything. Boy, that's something, ain't it? And I can't imagine him have ever been getting ill about anything. He said he used to have to give pay. He used to work a paper route to supplement his church income. And he had a boy that helped him. Something's going wrong with it. They don't want a paper check. Boy, said, that's your face. What that is. He said, I never said that word again. Oh, I'm talking to all you current people. Real faith, aren't you? I live in the real world. But I tell you what, I've tried to give my body. It's like a baby being born. But I'm going to hold that baby. And then I'll have to leave and come back home. In a few weeks, I'll see it again. And I'm going to say, why aren't you walking? Why aren't you running? Why can't you read? You understand what I'm telling you? Yeah. Why would Paul say, forward, 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 again, the Apostle Paul say, grow in the nurture that. Grow! Grow! And slowly, to continue the entrenchment of But if I'm talking to somebody close to God, let me tell you, it's not dangerous to serve God. Let Him make you successful in what He wants you to do. Trust God with your success and your future. Don't start. I remember when Jerry Reese was having me make a decision about whatever it is. He said, you've got to weigh the pros and the cons. You get a piece of paper and go down with the pros and the cons. See which one outweighs the other. Let me tell you what. If you spend your life worried about all that, not that he didn't give me some good practical, if you don't have experience, you end up never get close to God and never do anything. So, let me move on. This is where it called, and you know what, verse in there. At this thing, it's verse, it's in Acts chapter 15, verse 3. You can read it later. Says that God has given conversion. He said, has given conversion. I'm going to get that exact word. It's the Seneca word. It's Acts chapter 15. I could get my Bible from. Let's look at that word. Acts chapter 15. And it's verse number. I mean, I got the wrote the wrong scripture down. I bet I did. I was trying to get it late. Yeah, I was here. And being brought on their way by the church, they cast into Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. The conversion. So this word transmutation and transformation, metamorphosis, this word transmutation and conversion of Gentiles, you've heard people say they've been converted. That's just another word of being saved. They've been converted. And to put it in the word conversion, in that word conversion, it has to do with the conversion of base metals, you know what metals are, base metals, it's a conversion of base metals into gold or silver. I don't really understand that, but it has to do with it. It's a conversion process. You're the Bible of the city. I mean, should be, but I'm not what I used to be. In fact, I'm just studying and I'm reading you. You can develop this thought in physics. Well, I'm going to skip physics a minute. I'm going to go to math. And I really don't know nothing about math. I failed. I passed. Algebra. I've never failed a course in my life. But there's been some times when I come close. I made a D minus in algebra. And she got me out of there because she didn't want to look at my face. In math, it's to change the form. It means to change the form as an application or a geometrical figure without altering the meaning or the value. All I can say is, taking off them corners, that bob you a little bit. But don't worry, God knows what He's doing. He's going to change you if you let Him. I believe. I'm telling you. Be there if you want to, but I'm alive.
we change it. Hey, can't look against God's change. Change one form of energy, to change one form of energy into another. The example is mechanical. Well, like, nobody can believe that you think that's in liquid object. To change one form of energy into another. I remember, brother. To change the form, change one form of energy into another. Yes, I'm the sensitive to electric energy. And you put it on a power cord that's out beside your house, and there's some high intensity wires up there, high voltage wires. They don't even have any coating on. They don't have any insulation on them. And there was a man down the way here with his log truck, and one day takes his chain when he's supposed to use log stuff. High-powered lines. And what you got is it comes, you got a line that is insulated, it comes into your house off of this other side of that transformer. And it reduces down the amount of energy that's on those high-intensity lines to give you the loads you need, to give you the power source you need, to energize your load in your house, which is whatever amount of things you have that needs electricity. And God knows just as much as you need. But there's times when you need more. There's times when he needs to turn the voltage up because there's more load requirements. You need more amps to operate. And God says, I need to turn up the energy in his life. If you don't understand what I'm saying, you got to been where I've been. And I want you to understand, I've been at the times where I say, I can't make it on this, what I've got now. And God says, yes, you can. And here's you some energy. Here's me coming through you to help you. God, help us. There's not a one of us that don't need some extra strength sometimes. And there it is. There it is. Our spiritual source is Jesus Christ, our Lord. They talk about them solar flares from the sun. I just heard, if I got it right, a solar flare. Is estimated to be 100 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's a lot of energy, friends. Do you realize that's a drop in the bucket to our connection with God that gives us what we grace to help in time of need? And that's what it's all about. Grace to help in time of need. Let's stand. I just pray that you'll let God in your life this morning. Just turn it over to him. Father, have your way. I pray, oh God, thank you. Today I've needed some extra energy, spiritual energy, not physical.
And I thank you for helping me and for these people being so kind to listen. And Lord, there's no doubt people that are under the sound of my voice at this time, where they be, that need some help from God. Lord, that they would not be afraid to present their bodies a living sacrifice. Not be afraid to be transformed into the image of God. And not be afraid to accept the power and the strength spiritually to be received of you that would change their lives. Lord, and help them from falling and help them to live and serve you. And I pray people not be ashamed to receive that help today. And I pray for those that may have heard for the first time that Jesus died for them. The Son of God gave his life to save their souls and forgive them of sin and give them a home in heaven. And I just pray they'll turn to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Now you come on right now, she plays. If you need the Lord, you come on right now. Whatever.